this button. There we are. We are live. Yeah, so this is streamed online as well. For anyone from the church that is not able to make it. And it's also available to folks to listen to afterwards. So, cool. All right. Did you want to kick us off? Maybe open us up in prayer?
Sure, I can open us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity for us to come together and learn about your word and learn how you want us to spend our life and in these different lessons. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Scott and Leah for them leading this church and just the presence here. Lord, thank you for all of your blessings, and thank you for some visitors tonight, and just bless each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right.
You can go ahead and read.
Cool. Sounds good. Okay, so we are in Volume 1, Session 2. For those of you who have the Church Center app on your phone, I've actually published all of the documentation there as well. And then the daily devotions, I have them in the sanctuary. I can bring them over a little bit later and we can hand those out if you'd like. So the daily devotions, there's 5 daily devotions on there that you guys can do during the week. Good to go. And if you think of anything, you can just throw it in the chat and that'd be fun to do. So, all right. So volume overview. Why is the Bible relevant to me? All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Our upbringing often influences our view of the Bible. For some, the Bible is that oversized book that sat covered in dust on the coffee table. And for others, it's simply a book of good morals and suggestions, or even worse, outdated laws designed to keep us from having fun. The truth is, the Bible is a living, breathing Word of God. Through it, God speaks to those who will listen, giving guidance and correction. At times, Scripture brings us hope and encouragement, and it has the power to transform us. As we explore how the Bible is relevant to our lives today, perhaps one question we need to answer is, how can I know the Bible is true? So, all right. Today, we're going to start off with a question. How do you define truth in your own words?
Not lying.
Not lying. That's actually a good start.
Facts.
Facts. Factual. Truth, factual, yeah.
What actually happened, not what we wanted to perceive happen.
What's actually happened, not what we want to have happened. Okay. Anybody else? Cool. Go ahead.
Okay. truth, just thinking about the word brings up images of people arguing about their version of the truth. But Psalms 119 verse 120 60. Or 160 tells us that God's word is truth. Truth does not accommodate belief. Belief has to accommodate faith. And Christian philosopher Dallas Willard, in other words, we must conform what we believe to what God's true word tells us, not the other way around. Some may be tempted to use scripture incorrectly to justify their beliefs. Instead, reading God's word should shape what we believe. Today we'll be talking about applying the truth of scripture to our lives. God's word does not change as time, culture, or people often change. Jesus shows us how to rely on God's relevant and timeless truth to live victorious lives. Okay, we have a video to watch. As we watch this video, let's consider the question, how can you distinguish someone who knows what they're talking about and someone who doesn't.
I'm not sure there has ever been a time when what is true has been more debated than right now. We live in an era in which we feel increasingly...
I should probably turn this back on. So we're talking about how we know what's true when someone says it. So the deputy pulls this person over here in town, just right down by these houses over here, And I told the deputy, hey, I guess you caught someone today, huh, on the way here. He said, yeah, I was just pulling up to the stop sign, and there they went. And this poor lady, I don't even know who she is, she was very confident that the speed limit was 45. And it wasn't, because you get past the school, and, you know, it's 35. Well, he clocked her doing 50. Which, you know, at first I'm thinking, how in the world is she going 50 through the residential area and not catching on? But, I mean, if you're thinking 45 miles an hour, you and 50, that's usually where people sit themselves, about 5 miles over the speed limit, right? So, I was like, you know, I'm sure that lady thought it was 45. I know, like, I've been pulled over before thinking that it was this one thing and it wasn't. There's a lot of times I just don't know the truth because I'm not aware of it, even though the signs are there. So I think one of the key things that we can look for the truth is, you know, what signs are there? What is showing you truth already? Just by the world around us. We just need to be more aware of it.
That's good.
Anybody else?
Well, it can start with someone's credentials in various areas of a practice. I mean, I'm not going to take surgical advice from
me,
a kitchen manager. I mean, I'm going to take it from a surgeon, you know. So, and not from you either, honey. Yeah, no surgical advice from the pastor either.
Thank you.
So. But, you know, just like how there are people that are speaking the truth that are confident, but there's people that are not speaking the truth that are confident. So, it can mean that. It doesn't always, but it can. And it's the same thing with professionals. They can speak the truth, but they can also be wrong.
So. Yeah.
They can be outdated. I encounter that a lot, especially in the healthcare field, because it's always changing. And if you don't keep up on the latest truth.
Yeah.
And for a lot of that, it's what have we discovered about how the human body works and what really can we say causes this and causes that, and that we learn more. But if we don't always keep up with that, you may have somebody that is saying something that is no longer true.
Yeah.
Or at least no longer as we, through our best of our knowledge, we think is true.
That applies to a lot of jobs in general,
mm-hmm.
because at every job you have those that truly know the job and you have those that don't, and the ones that truly know the job, they're the ones that are studying out and focusing in on what is the truth of what's going on in that job.
Yeah.
With our walk with Christ, if we study out what God has written, we're going to know the truth of those around us based on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes it's how they live their life. If you're around them enough, you can see if what they say is actually what they're doing, you know, then you know that what they're saying isn't, you know, they're not really telling the truth. Which is kind of what you said this morning about hypocrisy.
All right. Well, we're going to get into some scripture. So let's go around the table and I will assign you some scripture. Y'all going to be reading tonight. So, Waller, you got the first one. You got Luke 4, 14 to 16.
Luke 4, 4?
4, 14 to 16. And got the next one. Luke 4, 17 to 22.
Next page. can find you one.
I can, yeah. I don't have it either, so she can.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're okay.
It's okay.
I thought I brought my Bible, but I just brought my notebook. I brought your Bible cover.
4:16.
Yeah, you're 4:14 to 16.
4:14. Just say when.
Are you you're getting the kids' Bibles? How cute!
I'll go get the. Is it all New Testament?
Yeah. Well, we have the big Bibles in there.
Oh, dear. It don't matter.
4:14. Did you?
Say when.
And you're 4:17 to 22. And the next one will be, see, we're putting the visitors to work already, aren't we?
14 through 16.
It's all, it's, it ends with you, Zella. That's right. You got it. We're putting all y'all to work.
Do you want to do this one or do you want me to? Because I think this is the last one.
All right, I'll do the last one then.
Okay, so.
All right.
Wait, which one? Second. Timothy.
I think we had like five last week. Last time we did this, didn't we? Five or six?
Five or six.
So,
yeah,
sorry, we only got three today. Putting the new people to work. Y'all get to read to us today. Yeah.
We had six because Elizabeth had two.
That's right. Elizabeth had to read two.
Yeah.
We had six.
All right. The scripture we're going to look at today takes place in the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. He had just come from a 40-day fast in the desert. During this time, the devil tried to tempt Jesus with power, position, and provision. We'll find out more about that later in a series about the Bible. Jesus fought each of these temptations by declaring verses of Scripture. He knew that only the true words of God would win the battle against the devil. After fasting and defeating temptation, Jesus traveled around healing the sick and teaching in the synagogues. This is where we find him now.
And Jesus returned in power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out of the fame of him through the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read.
All right. In the Bible, we often find Jesus teaching in the synagogue, a Jewish place for hearing and learning Scripture. He wasn't just a teacher. When he taught, people were amazed at his understanding. Matthew 7:28-29 says that. Often, his enemies tried to challenge or even trap him. They would ask him questions about God's law, and they were sure he couldn't answer. But time after time, Jesus demonstrated his understanding of God's word went beyond following the letter of the law. He also embodied the heart behind the law. So, question. Who were some memorable teachers that you've had? What made them stand out?
Like teachers that taught scripture?
No, just teachers.
Any teacher for anything.
Like
school.
My high school English teacher, Miss Kilgore. Yep, that's her name, or it was before she got married, Miss Kilgore. Every assignment had to be done in cursive, and it had to be proper, correct cursive. It was hilarious too, because she was like she was an older lady, but she had the voice of like a Southern belle, because we were in Georgia, and so everything had to be done proper, and it had to be done correctly. And she would take points off if your cursive wasn't perfect. But, you know, she taught me a lot of different things. Like, I had to work really hard to pass her class. I didn't like her. Usually it's the teachers you don't like that you end up remembering later on. But that's just, she stuck out to me because I didn't like her, but she expected more of me and everyone else.
She pushed you.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
So can it be a teacher who's talked about scripture?
Sure,
yeah, yeah. It could be any teacher you've had.
For any reason.
Tim from our church. Okay. He's one of my favorite teachers for the scriptures because I like the way that he reads the scriptures and explains it to us.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
I mean, also my, well, I guess junior high English teacher, Miss Mercer. I don't know, she's just such a nice teacher. Like, she would, like, she went over things, like, 1,000 times to make sure everyone knew it, even if everyone already knew it. But she was super laid back and stuff like that, and I didn't have to worry about missing work and stuff like that, which I often struggle with. So, it was very nice to be in that class.
Yeah. She still helps me, even though I'm not in junior high, if I have something... I have a question from my high school English, because my English teacher now isn't very helpful.
Yes.
But she's like a mother. Like, she's very sweet and makes sure you're always good, I guess.
Yeah, the ones that aren't helpful are the ones you forget. I had, there's only a few teachers I remember, but I remember a substitute teacher. We had one time. And the reason why I remember her is because she was a believer, and I could tell that she was a believer, but she wouldn't, like, overtly share her faith because we weren't allowed to do that even back then. And one day we're in there, and I think she was our sub for, like, actually, she's probably our sub for a couple days. And the kids in the class, the other ones, not me because I was a good kid, were trying to be distracting, you know. We know all the tricks. You guys get us, you ask us questions off topic to try to get us to talk about it, so we stop getting off with the lesson, and then you don't have any homework to do. That ain't gonna work. But it happens a lot with some teachers. They just get off sidetrack on these bunny trails. And that's what they kept trying to do to her. Because, you know, she's trying to follow her lesson plan. That's all they have. They don't, most of the time, they don't even know what to teach. And so, there's the lesson plan. This is what you got to do. Go do it. But they kept going after her and things like that. And they finally asked her a question, a pointed question about faith in Christ. And she said, "All right, you asked and I can answer now." I just remember that statement right there. And then she went into, like, this whole thing about the gospel right there. Wow. And everything, because it's like, okay, you've asked the question, I can answer the question. But until they ask, you can't do that. So, anyway, that's another one I remember. Do you guys remember any teachers?
Oh, I have to remember my mom. She was my teacher in 7 classes in high school.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Out of 8. And she was very strict as a teacher and as a mom, but she was very understanding too. The one thing that really stuck out that as I was reading this, that I remembered, was that her being understanding as a mom. As a senior, a lot of my classmates would skip school on occasion. And I never got to do that because we drove to school together. She was in all my classes, and we left the school together. And I told her, I said, "Mom, that's not fair." And she said, "You know what? If you want to skip one day, I'll let you, and I'll look the other way." And so I was able to skip a day. But you know what? It wasn't as fun when your mom knows about it. So it wasn't really skipping, but she was understanding, and that helped. So even though she was very strict.
So many. Dr. Martindale at Evangel, Scott was deployed most of the time I was at Evangel University, in Operation Iraqi Freedom, the second year it existed. But anyway, so I was depressed, situationally depressed, though, when he was gone. We were separated for almost 2 years, the couple times we got to see each other. But Dr. Martindale, he just, You know, yeah, he was, first of all, he was the most amazing teacher I've ever had. He was a Bible teacher. But he also just, and he's hilarious too. But he just listened. Like, I just went and he just let me talk to him and he took that extra time. And I got to see him again when we moved back to Springfield. And I don't know if he remembered me. Not like he doesn't see hundreds and hundreds of students every year. But he just, he meant so much to me in that time and getting through that time. And I was able to share that with him later. But yeah, but I had a lot of really wonderful teachers. He's one that really stood out.
Anybody else want to share about a like a teacher? maybe some that. Anyway, we got another question. We'll go on to the next question. How's that? So, who first taught you God's word? Did their life help you trust the Bible? Why or why not?
Well, our first preacher, we had a quite a while back, but he was Justin Offit. I only went to church because my mom kind of forced me to. I thought it was boring. I didn't know much people there, stuff like that.
Yeah, your mom drugged you and brought you to church.
Yeah.
Which, as in, she grabbed you by the ankles and drugged you.
Drugged you.
And
every Sunday.
Though that preacher, like Justin, I always thought he was like a boring kind of guy at first, but then he would do like this youth group, and then he'd actually talk to us and stuff like that. And he's funny. Like, he's actually like not one of those boring people who sound like they've been, I don't know, just reading the same thing over and over.
Hmm.
But, yeah.
So, back to earlier when I was talking about Tim. He's the guy who really helped me, learn. I heard a story before him, but he really helps me understand because I guess he just knows how to explain it in wilder world for me.
Yeah. That's good. You can translate.
Yeah.
Mine would be my mother. My mother taught me God's word first. She led me to the Lord. I think she said I was either 3 or 4. And I asked if I wanted Jesus in my heart. And so she helped me ask him to come into my heart. But then just, there's that early choice. And then you've got to make your choice for yourself later when you're older. And her example, her whole life, she was true to what she said. She was true to what she said she believed. She was true to what God says is true. She was a legitimate Christian. And that's can be hard to find. And so her life, was not hypocritical, congruent, and really helped me to believe that what the Bible said was true because I saw my mom live it.
Mine would have to be my mom, too.
Drug us all to church.
I just started out with a whole bunch of, songs, I guess, from the Bibles when I remember. Before I really knew who he was.
Awesome. Anybody else? Y'all are quiet over there. Y'all are never quiet.
You can answer the question.
I'm giving other people chances. Leave me alone.
We need chances.
She gets the next question. How's that?
Well, I had a passion.
It's about your most embarrassing moment. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I like that.
Let her tell you first.
Okay.
I had a pastor when I was a teenager. His name was Terry, and he was very funny. And he made learning about Jesus and learning verses and everything, he made it fun, because he would do backflips and whatnot. Come on, Scott.
Come on, Scott. Where's your backflips?
Dude, I would not make backflips. I'd make back flops, and I ain't going to get up afterwards.
That would be also humorous.
No, it'd be like watching a seal die. Yeah.
But he really stuck out with me because he was fun, and he made learning the Bible fun, So. You do too.
Oh, thanks. I'll take it. Rick, I'm gonna make you answer. Who taught you God's word first?
Oh, just going to church, just a pastor.
Yeah. Hey, that's a real answer. All right. Luke 4:17-22.
All right.
I've seen so many of them.
The synagogue assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoner, and to recovery of the sight of the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the good Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistants, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to him, "Today this scripture has been filled just as you have heard it."
You want me to take it?
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Jesus not only taught God's word, but he also proved God's word is true. Jesus read from Isaiah, a book that was written hundreds of years before his birth. Then Jesus revealed those words were about him. Can you imagine how shocking that would be? Those who heard Jesus reading that day may have only known him as the son of Joseph, the carpenter, but Jesus connected the dots between himself and a 700-year-old prophecy. He boldly declared himself to be the Messiah, which is a Hebrew word that means anointed one. Jesus' life is evidence that every word from God is true. And we find that in Proverbs 30, verse 5. So here's our
Before we get to the question, okay, let me give a little more context, because I'm a pastor and I feel like I don't care. The scripture that he read from that scroll specifically, that comes from... that is not the right reference, you silly thing. Anyway... I don't have my doggone thing on me. Anyway, the reference that it's pulling from is actually a scripture that was a prophecy that was spoken to identify who would be the Messiah. So him going to church, basically, reading that scripture and saying, "Yep, that's me." Yeah, that'd probably stir some folks up, I think. So... Mm-hmm. You know, it being so early in his ministry, too, to say such a thing right in front of people, I'm like, that guy's got some, he's got some confidence there that this is who he is. So, yeah. All right, go ahead, sorry.
Okay, that's okay. So the question is, beyond reading scripture, Jesus knew how to apply it to his own life. Why does applying scripture to our lives matter? Why does it matter that we apply scripture to our lives?
So that we know we're doing it right, I guess.
I mean, Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving Earth. I mean, supposed to follow instructions when you're building something, so why don't you follow instructions of life?
Yeah, there you go. An owner's manual, so to speak.
To be more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't know much about him if you haven't read up.
Well, and there's a verse that says to not only hear the word, but to live the word.
Yeah.
Speaking of hearing is in doing, yes. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was still thinking. Okay, so the next question is, how have you experienced promises from God that came true after years of waiting in your life or in the life of someone that you know? I have an example. God called me to take care of Otto, and because he had cancer, we had known each other since we were teenagers. And God called me to be with him until he passed away. And we had broken up and gone our separate ways. He had another girlfriend and everything. But God called me to do this. And I kind of didn't really want to do it, but I didn't want to not do what God was telling me to do. And so I did. God told me in the beginning of that if I did what he wanted me to do to help Otto, that I would inherit his estate. And Otto lasted 7 years. I took care of him for 7 years. And when he passed away, I did inherit his estate. I was just like, you know, that's not why I did it. I did it just because God asked me to. I wanted my reward to be in heaven, not here, you know. So, yeah.
You know, something interesting happened this weekend, and I told some of y'all about it. The rest of y'all probably saw it on Facebook. My mower has had issues. And
it's like clockwork. Every spring.
Every spring. Every spring has some issues.
When you try to use it, it has issues.
Anyway, I'm not what you would call mechanically minded sometimes, most of the time. And so I just put it out on Facebook on the, you know, what is it?
Neighbor
helping neighbor. And I said, my mower's broke and I don't know how to fix it. I think it's something to do with the deck. I'd really not like to have to take it in to get fixed because I don't know what's wrong with it. And can anyone help? And this guy chimes up and says, yeah, I'll be there right after lunch. He comes over. He spends probably 2 hours with me taking the mower, taking the deck apart, taking the whole thing and fixing it all up and everything. Now I had to get a new belt, so I really don't know if we fixed it or not. But he spent 2 hours with me, and I was at the end of it all. We were just talking, and I'm like, man, I kind of feel like I owe you something. And he says, no, man, we're good, because he comes to our distribution day. And he's seen us for other things too, and just been around stuff that we've done as a church. And so it's like, okay, cool. So my wife even asked me, she said, did you pray for that? And I said, not specifically. But you know, I've asked God to take care of us and things like that and watch out for us. And I know other people are praying for me for that too. So he came through. So sometimes you don't have to be specific. Sometimes you just have to be prayed up and ready.
We've been challenged to stop trying to fix everything ourselves when these problems come up.
Yeah.
You know, and this is something that gentleman is gifted in, and we don't all have the same gifts. We all have material things, but he had time and he had skill, and he blessed us with that.
Tons.
In a huge way. But if we had done what we used to do, which would be like, go take a loan, go buy a new mower, you know, take care of it ourselves, that opportunity never would have been available for him to do.
And guess what happened next spring? I would have broken the mower again. And it would have been the new one. I'm good at breaking stuff. I'm not great at fixing it sometimes.
21 years ago, my mom died of cancer. And it was a very short time that our family even knew that she had cancer. From the time we found out to the time she passed away was 8 weeks. And my sister and I, one time we were sitting and we were talking, and we both were like, you know, we didn't realize that the prayers we were going to be uttering at that time had been answered about 60 years previously, because when we found out mom had cancer, it was already stage 4 terminal. And when she was a young girl, she had fallen down concrete steps. And she had such a high tolerance for pain because of that fall, it had messed up her tailbone, that before she went into the coma that she ended up dying from with it. The nurse told me your mom has never said that her pain level was above a 4. And we had prayed, don't let her linger and suffer. You know, that's yeah. God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep going. Jesus' understanding of Scripture was deepened by his commitment to obey it and live it out in his earthly life. Through his obedience, the Bible's promises are powerfully alive. We can learn from his example. When we choose to obey the Bible, we can understand and experience God's word even more. 2 Timothy.
But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know that they are true, for you know that you can trust those who taught you. You may have been taught by the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and that they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God, and is useful to our lives, or to teach us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip us, equip his people, to do every good work.
In his letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul encouraged his disciple to teach the Scripture with authority. Paul encouraged Timothy to continue to do what he had been taught. You can look at that at Psalm 33:4. He emphasized the trustworthiness of Scripture and testified about its divine origin. If we treat the Bible as mere words of men rather than as God's trusted guidance, reading it will be a waste of time. Instead, God's inspired word helps us to know when we need to correct our thoughts or actions. When we change in obedience to his correction, we'll have a healthy relationship with him. Scripture can tell us about faults in our thoughts and actions. How have you experienced this as you've read God's word? So many ways.
It's big.
That kind of goes along with your sermon this morning. In the...
This was not planned.
But if we are living our lives according to God, we need to hate the sin but still love that sinner, still love that person. If we don't, we're a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Because we're not living God's word.
So I teach Wednesday nights at my church for the kids, and I have had an extremely rough year. The kids are hateful, disrespectful, throwing. I mean, I had one girl jump in my face and push me. And I told him, I was like, this is my last year. I'm taking a break after this. And reading God's word, I read, and they put it, and Tim put it up again today, that your works is not in vain. I called you to do this. Your work is not in vain. And whenever I change my view and my disappointment to go back to, I'm on God's time. I'm doing God's work. Last two Wednesdays have been amazing. The kids are asking me questions. They're into it. And all of a sudden it's like, okay. If you follow along with what God's doing and not try to focus on how I was screwing up. Obviously, I wasn't good enough for these kids because they were not listening. But go back, because God did choose me to be in that place in that time. So I do think that I have experienced it. And I'm not the kind of person that's like, oh, I flipped through the Bible and bam, it told me this. No, but I am the kind of person who like, oh, I just read this and I think it's clicking. I think I got this.
This whole thing reminds me of a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, and why should we ourselves risk our lives hour by hour? For I swear, dear brothers and sisters, that I face death daily. And I was thinking about the kids in your class beating you up. Sorry.
That is the scripture I'm thinking of, though. 1 Corinthians 15.
This is as certain as my pride. This is as certain as my pride in what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done in you. And what value is there in fighting wild beasts, those people of Ephesus? We talked about those folks today, didn't we? If there will be no resurrection from the dead, and if there is no resurrection, well, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you don't know God at all. And I was like, this is a section of verses that God showed me when I was getting ready for a missions trip in Mexico when I was a sophomore. Well, I was a freshman going into sophomore year.
So their age.
No. It was after sophomore year. It was, I was in San Diego, California. We were going into Baja, Mexico, and we were on a missions trip. And we were getting ready, we were doing our rally at a church before we went into Mexico to do ministry. And I was in the parking lot with my youth group at the time, the ones that came, and I saw this verse and it just stuck on me. You know, it said, you know, bad company corrupts good character. Oh man. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. I've read the Bible, but I don't remember it actually saying the word stop sinning, like, directly. And I was like, oh, okay. It was like this direct thing. And then he goes on to say, you know, I'm saying all this to your shame, because it's like you don't even know God. And, you know, I was just, that just gets me every single time, because it's like, yeah, I had a missions trip girlfriend and a youth group girlfriend and a high school girlfriend. I was a player.
At the same time?
I'm 41. Yes!
Oh my gosh.
Look, you could keep them straight if they weren't in the same place. Boy, do not dare. I will know. I'm kidding.
Didn't plan all this.
Good.
That reminds me that we have this little thing on the side of this fridge. Jesus is, I'm watching.
Yes. So, and that's the thing. Like, do you not get it? And then this whole thing, like, bad company corrupts good character. And I'm like, yeah, you know, those friends that I have. And, you know, this is one thing I talk about with my kids all the time is, you know, you've got friends. And that's great. I want you to have friends. I want you to be able to influence your friends for Jesus. But let me ask you a question. Are you influencing them for Jesus, or are they influencing you away from him? Because if that's how that's going, that's bad company corrupting good character. Mm-hmm. So. You want to hang around or you want to go?
I want to go because I'm tired and I just can't because we're going back.
Okay, take him with you. Okay. Thanks. But yeah, so... Anyone else have thoughts about that when the scripture just kind of kicked your butt?
I do. Sometimes when I'm feeling down or blue or depressed, the verses that say to keep your mind on things above really helps me, because when I start thinking of this and all that, you know, life can be so rough. And when I start thinking of heavenly things, godly things, and that type of thing, it really does change my actions and the total way I feel. Mm-hmm. You know, and that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime scripture kick your tail?
Lots.
Lots of times.
I was trying to get the right verse in my head. So when we were doing, in women's group, we were doing that John Bevere book about being under the umbrella of authority of God and of the people that God places in our lives. And that when we're under that authority, we are protected. And so, you know, that really convicted me, you know, and that would be, at the time, it was partly the government. I mean, as long as whoever it is not asking you to sin, you're supposed to obey your authority. And so it was the government, it was, you know, sometimes my husband, you know, and that's, as ladies, that's can be a struggle for all of us to come under our husband's authority.
Especially when we do stupid things.
Yeah. But God promises protection if we obey our authority. And, I mean, I have seen in my life and the lives of others that when we don't come under that protection of authority, we're no longer protected. We become vulnerable and we can get in really bad situations. So none of that really spoke to me.
Anybody else?
I do find myself a lot of times when I think the money's not there, saying, God feeds the sparrows, God feeds the sparrows. And that just reminds me, or it says, not to worry about tomorrow, there's enough trouble today.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. One time I was having that same, I was in the parking lot, on the, I don't remember why, I had stopped in the parking lot, and I was like having that same panic, like, God, I don't know how we're going to make it, how we're going to get the bills, and then there's a sparrow lands on my rear view mirror, and I'm like, thanks God. That's right.
I got so. You.
That's the first time I've heard that.
Oh, yeah. That happened in Virginia. You were not there, I was by myself.
So, Paul taught the word of God to Timothy and asked him to live by its teaching. Who in your life can you teach the word of God to?
Hopefully my kids.
I mean, my friends.
Yeah.
I got two of my friends to come to church.
That's awesome. Awesome.
I don't think you have enough confidence to really, like, I need to gain confidence in order to tell people. Like, I cannot imagine going to school and, like, it should be easy to tell people about God, but it is so difficult for me. I can't.
There is fear in that, but once you start doing it, those fears kind of go away. You know, you build your confidence, you know. So, yeah, if you can get over that first time fear, maybe do it with someone that you know, like Elizabeth, you could practice with her, you know.
She needs Jesus.
Yeah.
No, for real, you can. You can practice with her.
Yeah. She'll practice with you. But you know she will.
But fear does not come from God. It comes from Satan. So it's important for us to learn to press through those fears. So, yeah. And pray beforehand. I'll get you through it.
I'll tell you what, though. I remember the first time I was telling people about Jesus. And I think what made it easiest is because it was when I was in Mexico. And I was never going to see these people ever again.
Uh-huh.
And I was not a part of their life. And I had all this confidence going in because I'm like, big white savior coming into Mexico. And, you know, that's how a lot of dumb teenagers think when they're on missions trips. But, you know, we're going in there. We're very confident. I mean, it's this uber amazing time because it's easy to have faith when you're not having to deal with people you know, mm-hmm. or people you're going to have to follow up with. So that's when I got my first taste of an evangelist's life. Pastors and evangelists are completely different characters. You know, evangelists come in and break everything, and the pastors have to clean it up afterwards.
In a good way.
And it's all in a good way.
All needed broken.
It all needed to be broken, I'm sure. But, you know, the thing is that It's very interesting because it's like we want to talk about being like evangelical, which means we want to go out there, we want to share Jesus with other people. But we have to be additional to that. We have to continue to be pastoral. Now, what I mean by pastoral is like what we're talking about with like being with the shepherding and all that. You know, you have to have relationship with these folks. You have to be around them. You have to answer their questions later on because they're going to ask you more questions. So let me ask you, Walker, how do you build your confidence in what? How do you build your confidence in your faith? I'm not talking about in sharing your faith. I'm talking about your faith. How do you build your confidence in your faith?
I don't know. I've never been asked that. I've never really thought about it.
How do you build your faith?
How would you think that you would?
How do you build confidence in your faith?
Maybe, I don't know, start reading the Bible like every night.
That'll help, yeah.
Stand in front of the mirror. I'm pretty.
Bible app.
Is that what he does?
while they're wanting to do new things.
I don't even know what they did. Did you
Sorry, on? Walker.
I don't either. I know it wasn't good. I had something.
Sorry, my bad.
You were talking about reading the Bible every night.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And the Bible app, it's, like, you can have the audio to, like, instead of listening to, like, Spotify and stuff like that, I could just listen to that instead. Like on the bus ride or something like that, that'd be something small I can change to.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, if you know the truth and someone asks you questions, then you can give them the answers confidently. Because then you know it.
Yeah. Because I studied it.
Yeah.
I don't do this, but I think it'd be a good idea. That's what the fact that Tim does. He says that his radio quit working in his car, and so he started using the Bible app, turn it up, listen to the Bible. And once he got his radio fixed, he says he still doesn't use his radio because he likes that listen to the Bible instead of listening to the radio when he drives.
Yeah.
Also going to church regularly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Be with like-minded people.
That is important.
Yes.
It does, yeah.
Being intentional. Intentional in your relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
Putting him first instead of last. Life is busy, and sometimes that relationship gets set off to the side, and you can't. You got to try to be intentional in your relationship.
Yeah. What I've tried to do is I used to have this mentality, like, I'll just squeeze my time with Jesus into any part of my day. But the thing is that I've learned that if I don't do my time with the Lord at the beginning or near the beginning, it ain't happening. Because I'll end up getting busy, or I'll end up doing something else or whatever it is. Next thing I know, it's 10, 11 o'clock at night. I'm too tired. If I pick up my Bible, Jesus, I'm going to be resting in the arms of a Savior because I'll be asleep. And so, not that I haven't done that before. I've done it many times. But the thing is that, you know, it's one of those things like, you've got to build your confidence by knowing the Word. You got to build your confidence by listening to the Spirit when He guides you. You need to be aware of what's going on around you. And sometimes it just comes up to, telling God to open your eyes a little bit.
Yeah. I think I have time for... I think, oh, okay, well, after school, I don't have archery practice or anything like that, so I can just do it then. And then instead, I'm like, oh, I don't have too much time, so I might as well sit on YouTube or something like that.
Right.
But reality, it was 30 minutes, and just 30 minutes a day is still better than zero.
Exactly.
And when you're sharing about Jesus and they do ask you hard questions, there is nothing wrong with saying, I will look at the Bible and I will get back to you.
Yeah,
it's not the end of the world if you do that because nobody has 66 books memorized in their head. Well, right. People do.
Well, come on, y'all. Didn't you have to do that? That's what Sunday school's for.
And but again, we can't always have to, even in your regular job.
Yeah.
The job I have. We have people come in and they ask us some questions and it's like, have not encountered this before. Let me talk to someone who possibly has, and I will call you back or whatever.
Yeah.
There's no shame in saying, I'm not sure. Let me double check.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the best thing that anybody can do to be a good witness is to live what the Bible says.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Do not be hypocritical. Do not, I mean, it's your actions. It's your life. No one can argue with how you act. So if they see that you're doing what you say you're supposed to do,
yeah,
and they know you're genuine, people looking for genuine things in our culture.
That's what people are looking for. They're looking for people to be genuine.
Genuine.
They hunger for genuine.
Yeah. So,
did you know, before the Dead Sea Scrolls, the earliest manuscripts we had of the Old Testament were texts that dated to around AD 920. Discovered in the late 1940s, the Dead Sea Scrolls contained an almost complete representation of the Old Testament, except for the Book of Esther. The earliest copies of the scriptures in this collection date to around 200 BC. Although the difference over 1,000 years between these copies of the Bible is massive, scholars were shocked to see that the biblical texts were virtually unchanged over the course of that time. This find proves that scribes took the transmission of scripture incredibly seriously. The rest of the biblical text we can trust today. The result is that the biblical text we can trust today. You know, I was thinking about like biblical history and stuff like that, and before they had, you know, copy machines, literally they'd have guys, these scribes, that just would sit there all day long and they would copy the Bible stroke by stroke, every jot and every tittle. That's actually in the Bible somewhere, you know. Every jot and every tittle, which are actual, like, Hebrew things that you had to
do. And if they made
one
mistake, they had to start over at the beginning again.
So, yeah, I mean, and back then, every Bible was handwritten.
Started for the printing press.
The Gutenberg Bible was the first one ever done on the printing press. The Bible was the first thing done on a printing press. Well, completed. I'm sure they tested it before then.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, that's one of the things. Like I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. You've got
ESV.
We've all got these different versions of the Bible, and you know, they're either a paraphrase where they're trying to, you know, like fill in gaps and things like, or there's some version that is more literal translation and stuff like that. You know, it's difficult sometimes to grab an ancient language and then translate it into a modern language because you miss pieces and parts of it. Like for instance, in English, we don't have feminine and masculine and neuter forms of a noun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for instance, like Spanish has that,
mm-hmm.
hermano, hermana. But they only have feminine and masculine. They don't have neuter. And when I was studying Greek, man, they've got 8 different kinds that it can be. It's just based upon when, like, you would take, like, there'd be verbs that were, like, spun into it and adjectives and all this other stuff. It's all spun into the word. And it's like, wow, okay, so I get it now. I was thinking about Rachel,
mm-hmm.
our friend who's a missionary. She helped create the written language.
Well, the New Testament.
She did the New Testament in Renge.
The Renge language.
But didn't she have to, like,
I'm not sure.
She had to
you're right.
figure
yeah.
out.
It was a spoken language. It wasn't written.
It was a spoken language. It wasn't written. And there were some things that didn't translate because it wasn't something that they would culturally understand. And so she would either have to do some sort of description, or she may even look at it and go, it's not that important to have this exact phraseology. Maybe I can use something local for their context so they understand what it is. So it's just, it's very interesting to see how the Bible has worked out. But, you know, this is pretty cool, the whole Dead Sea Scrolls thing. So, sorry. So, reflect. The Bible is true. When we trust something, we change our lives to reflect that trust. We trust elevators to safely take us up and down inside of a building. If we saw smoke coming from that elevator, we wouldn't get on it. We'd no longer trust it. We'd adjust our behavior to reflect that lack of trust by taking the stairs. The same is true about God and His Word. Trusting God that doesn't change our behavior is not really trust. Jesus's repeated use of scriptures shows us that trust, shows us the trust He placed in them. We believe in God's word, that God's word is true by demonstrating that some kind of trust.
That same kind of trust.
One more sentence, Scott. All right. And when we place our trust in God's true word, He will change us as we live our lives in obedience to it. Take it away, please.
Okay. Let's listen to God. Let's pause and listen to what God might want to say to us. Be silent for a few moments and reflect on the following questions. Respond to the one that most resonates with what God is saying to you right now. Then complete the others during day one of your devotions time this week.
So let me explain how this works, okay? These are personal reflection questions, and we could read these. But what I'd like for you to do is we're not going to answer them right now. Just listen to the questions, see which of these questions resonate most with you. Y'all know what resonate means? You catching my drift here? So resonate means it matches your vibe. Okay, it matches up with what God is communicating to you. Catch that?
To you. Right now.
So, and then we'll do some prayer requests, and So, would you read the questions?
Sure.
And then when you want to tap out, let me know.
Okay. You may know. Okay, the first question. Psalm 33, verse 4, tells us to trust everything God does. Sometimes we don't understand why God does the things He does, but God's Word tells us to trust Him anyway. What area of your life is the hardest for you to trust God with? A, your finances, B, your health, or C, your future, or D, your relationships. Okay, the next question. There's often an element of trusting God's word while we wait to see it fulfilled. What seems more difficult for you personally? Trusting what God said or having patience to wait for the fulfillment of what God said? And what do you think that is?
Do you truly believe God's word is trustworthy? What is a specific scripture that changed your life as you believed it and followed it? The Bible tells us to trust God's word, just as we are to trust what the Bible says. We should share what we've learned with others. Challenge here is this: what did you learn about the Bible in this session? Who is someone you can share it with? Consider sharing it with your child, someone younger than you, or someone who has been a Christian for less time than you. So, now, prayer requests.
Consider that.
since you're sharing.
Let me go get some real quick. Sorry. Talk about yourselves.
Throw this away. I've heard so much crinkling. Throw it away.
Do you need more snacks? Do you need more? I have more.
Well, he opened this one and then put it back.
But I didn't do that.
I guess they are sealed, so.
I tried to open it because I thought it was one of these popcorn things, and they're like,
Amanda,
well,
you have to feed the children.
Well, no, supper is at home, okay?
Oh gosh, I'm sorry. I didn't just spoil their supper.
Oh, well, really?
What time is it?
You want two?
We've already got this.
Oh, you've already got that.
Andy Griffin would be
one. Oh, okay.
Oh, and.
There you go.
Exactly. Hey, I have enough of these. Sweet.
Yes.
Awesome. So these are the personal devotions. So the reason why I'm handing these out now is, at least for me, what I like to do is I like to write down the prayer requests onto my paper here so I don't forget them. I don't know about you, but I have Teflon brain.
Oh, yeah.
Some stuff doesn't stick. And it's nothing personal, trust me. I just... I'm getting older and things don't work as well as they used to, if they ever worked at all. Anyway, so what prayer requests do we have? We'll pray about these today too. Yeah.
My friend Keegan asked for us to pray for this, but his cousin's boyfriend or something like that got
grandma's niece's boyfriend.
Family member's boyfriend
got fired for praying on the job.
Oh goodness.
Oh, no.
So pray for him.
Yes.
Wait, what happened?
Someone got fired for praying on the job. And what Keegan's in.
I thought he said singing and I was like, oh.
Sounds like a bad voice.
I know.
First of all, he said playing on the job when he first told me. I thought,
well, yeah.
He's 20-something, he's playing on the job.
Yeah.
One of my employees is going tomorrow to the optometrist. She's in her early 30s and has already got a retina detaching. Oh
my gosh. Who is this again?
One of my employees.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess just pray for the school. There's a lot of kids there who, like, they go to church. And I know that because I've seen them at, like, my Philipsburg church. Or just, I know they do, but, like, they don't act like it. And I hope I'm not. I hope I do act like I do go to church as well.
But. I'll pray for my wife. Because you are
busy. I'll pray
busy,
for you then.
Busy. Busy.
Thank you.
It's hard sometimes, and I appreciate you being here, and I know why you're here.
No, I was going to stay anyway.
I mean, I'm here for
you. Were going to be...
Even before Amanda came.
Well, you said you were going to be here for, like, the first part. So.
Yeah, but then I was like, no, I just need to be here.
So
it was okay, but then just because Amanda's here.
I'm going to pray for a miraculous thing on your part, because you said you have 8 hours to work.
I
8 hours
two
of work
already.
You gotta do. So 6 hours left. So that's 1 a.m.
Sleeping is optional. For my prayer request is, I've been getting sick every 2 weeks, like a low grade fever, and I'm going to the doctor this week because it's ridiculous, and I hope they can figure out what's going on, if there's something going on. Either that or I'm just, you know, getting the cesspool from my family members every 2 weeks and getting sick, but. I don't know. It's not normal to have a consistent low fever. So I don't have time for that either.
No, ain't nobody got time for that.
Nope.
I'd like to ask prayer for the United States. I've heard that there is starting to be an awakening across the nation in certain areas. I know Tennessee has one, and there's one going on up in Chicago, and I think there's one out west, but I'm not sure what state it was. But things are really starting. It's like God is sending His Holy Spirit. And so I just pray that, you know, people receive that, and that that continues, and that we as Christians do what we should to help build that up.
It's the first I've heard of it, too. Oh, man. I want to do one more. Life 360 Church All Nations in Springfield, and our folks know this, but they're doing a big launch event for their new All Nations Welcome Center, which is a brand new concept. It is something that they're doing in partnership with the city of Springfield. In fact, the person coming out to dedicate the Welcome Center is the superintendent of schools in Springfield. So that'll tell you exactly where this is all kind of falling into place. But All Nations is an intercultural church, and they work with a lot of refugees. They work with a lot of folks that are coming to the nation for the first time. They have English classes. They have all sorts of stuff that happens there. I was talking to the pastor last week, and he was telling me all of what they're doing, and the building is full every single day. Something is going on, and I was like, wow. So that'd be my prayer request, is that not only that the grand opening would go well, but also that the ministry that they're going to provide through that would really resonate with the folks in Springfield that need it. So. Anyone else?
Pray for my grandpa. I'm showing cattle and stuff like that. It's summer, and they're at his house and everything, and it's kind of hard on him. But he still wants to do it and stuff. We said, oh, if you don't want to, you know, we cannot do it. But he says, oh, no, I want to do it. But he won't admit it, but I think it's hard on him.
So physically?
Yeah.
Okay. Not he's going to miss the cattle.
He had a heart attack last year. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
He has had 3 heart attacks, and they diagnosed him with COPD. Oh, so goodness. He can walk from this side of the room to the next, and he has to sit down for a minute. But he is bound and determined to do this with Wilder, but it's definitely rough on him.
What's your grandpa's name?
Clint.
And let's pray for the court situation. My sister and her seem to be ex-husband in custody. All that is happening on Friday, May 9th. That's court date. And they said something about how they may not finish that day, and we're praying that they finish that day, because this is hard for everybody. Finish that day, and it's the best outcome possible for everybody.
All right. So here's what I'd like to do. We're going to pray together. And what I'd like to do is there's 9 requests. There's 9 of us. That works well. So I'll open us in prayer, and I'll pray for one of the requests. My list probably is not looking like your list, so if I hit something out of order, just make sure you don't. I mean, you can pray for things twice, but I'll keep track of what's being prayed over to, just in case something gets missed, and it'll be all good. But does anyone need any help knowing what to pray for or anything?
I didn't write any of that down.
When I do it with the kids, it's usually you pray for the person that's like behind you. Like, you pray for me. Janet prays for you.
Well, hold on. Arlena.
I don't know.
It's Walker. W-A-L-K-E-R.
That's your name.
He couldn't read his name.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
Could be me.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. I like what Leah suggests. So,
I didn't hear.
Look to the person on your left.
Right. On your right? Or your left? Your left. Or so left. I'm praying for you.
And you pray for that person, or you pray for their request?
Praying for that person request. And their requests, if you got it written down.
They can tell you their request. I have them all written down. Anyone needs to know one?
My request was
I've been sick every 2 weeks. I'm going to the doctor this week.
Okay, are we going left or right? Clockwise. So I have to pray for. What did you?
I didn't have anything.
We're going clockwise. So you can still pray for your sister.
Oh. And then pray for my sister.
You have to deal with Wilder.
Pray for my sister in that court.
I'll pray for your sister.
You said there was nine. Anyway.
Michelle's not here.
Okay.
So I'll pray for her.
We went by request number, not people number.
Wait, which way are we going now?
Starts with me, and just like if we're playing a game, it's going clockwise.
Okay.
So you pray for mom.
I thought you said you were praying for her, then I thought you
No, she's praying for me.
He switched it up.
So, all right. Well, Lord God, thank you so much. You know, it's a good day when we have to figure out how to pray. You know, there's things in this world that are more complicated, more difficult to figure out than who's going to pray for who and whatever else. God, I appreciate that we have this opportunity to come in this room, to sit at your feet, to share what's going on in our lives with each other, and to bring it to you and leave it there. Lord God, I pray right now for Janet. Lord, she's got an employee that's going to deal with some retina stuff, and I know she's dealing with stuff at work. And I know she's dealing with stuff at home. And I know she's dealing with stuff with her kid. And everything else, Lord Jesus. You gave him a rough week last week. And that built faith. But I pray a blessing on them. And I pray, Lord God, that you would be with her this week. Guide her and give her amazing opportunities to share her amazing faith with others.
Lord, I pray for Rick. I pray, Lord, that you strengthen him, that you give him a rest that only you can give. Lord, you know the struggles that this man has gone through physically and emotionally. And I thank you, Lord, for giving him to me personally as a spouse, and to share his wonderful faith with you.
Go ahead.
That's okay. Hello, dear Heavenly Father, I lift Walker up to you. Lord, I ask you to bless Walker in everything that he does. And Lord, he is concerned about the school and the kids in the school. Lord, just keep your hand on all of that, Lord, and things are just crazy in this world today, and I ask that you give Walker the discernment on who to share the word with, to share his faith with, and when he should share that faith with them. Lord, just guide him and direct him, and give him that discernment and wisdom, and help him get over the fear so that he is able to do your will. You are impressing on him that his faith does need to be shared. So help him through that, Lord, and just bless him.
Lord, I pray over Zella, my sister. I know that we're not always as kind to her as we should be, me and my other siblings and stuff like that. And, Lord, I know that she has a lot of things with, like, FFA and track and whatnot happening around, and I know she's not going to get any free time, and I pray, Lord, that it's not too much stress or too much anything, Lord, and I pray that you just watch over her.
I pray, Lord, for my mom, as I know she's got a lot of stuff that goes on through her day, all of her stuff and all of our stuff and everything that she worries about. I pray for everything that she's dealing with mentally and emotionally and everything and physically. And I pray that even though she has a busy life and a whole bunch of stuff to do, I pray that she still finds time for you and understand what's most important in life.
Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for having us come here tonight. Thank you for allowing us to hear your word and hear your voice through this scripture. Lord, I do pray for Wilder. His heart is big. He wants to pray for his friend, uncle, that lost his job. I pray that person lost his job and is going to find a better job, maybe find a career, that was a reason for that, Lord. That maybe that was a witness to someone who didn't believe or whatever, Lord. That work was for you. I also pray for his grandpa and my dad. You know him and you know his heart and you know that he loves you, Lord, but he's stubborn and physically just can't keep up like he used to. So I pray that you help him get through this summer and enjoy some extra memories and enjoy the summer with Wilder. I also pray for Wilder. Wilder is going through a school year that's not the easiest, and I pray that whenever he is feeling intimidated or lost or whatever, that he can feel your presence, that he knows that you are there, that you do love him no matter what he's facing, and that the choices that he makes can be lined up with what your scripture tells him. I love you, Lord.
Lord, pray for Leah, and I know she's been getting sick a lot, and please help her get to feeling better, because nobody wants to be sick, especially when they got a lot of stuff to do. And I can't think of anything else to say.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for our time here together and this opportunity for us to learn more about you through your word and to support each other in our prayers and for hearing our prayers. Lord, we thank you. And I lift up my husband to you. I pray you would give him strength and give him guidance in the direction for our church, and you give him confidence in his calling, and show him each step that we're to take to as our church and as Crossing Over Church, that we're all here to reach this community, God, and I pray that you would just help and guide us as to how best to do that, and give us new boldness and confidence each day to share you with those around us. I thank you for my husband's heart to pray for me, help me with this work, and so that I can balance what I'm doing with work with what my family needs and what my church family needs and what you have called me to do, Lord. And God, we just thank you for the gift that we have of being just allowed and wanted in a relationship with you. You want to be with us. You want us to want to be with you. And I pray that each person here through this week would take time to take time in prayer, take time in Bible reading, to just grow closer to you and to listen to your word and to let it just speak to their hearts and minds and guide them in the relationship with you and with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well.
Thank you, Christ.
I think we're good.
Do you need more snacks?
Sorry.
You need a bigger bowl.
You should have never offered
no snacks next time. Okay.
We always have snacks, Amanda. We always have lots of snacks.
Well, you know, if we don't sugar them up before they leave, then kids actually haven't been here.
This morning we had a couple new littles, and I had the gigantic.